Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical on News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doble.
Good morning, David Doble. How are you?
I'm good, man. Can't believe it's been a whole week.
I know, man. It's been crazy. I took Monday. Well, I worked a little bit Monday morning and then took the rest of Monday, Tuesday, and most of Wednesday off. And I did a silent retreat up in Hoshton, which was good. Kind of get your head back right. Been doing that the beginning of the year, last few years. And then, like, you come back to all the insanity. There was a busy week again.
It really makes you wonder.
But it's all good.
Yeah, it really makes you wonder.
It does. Well, yes and no. It gives you perspective, right, which is good. It's good. All good. Just grateful. There's a lot going on, though. You were in the middle of a big kitchen project? I can't remember. I felt like something big was going on.
No, we're doing a garage.
It wasn't handyman work. I know that.
A garage. Okay. A pool house. A little conversion. Well, it was a carport, and we're converting it into a pool house, hence the garage. So they're building a garage. Ah. So it's good. It's all good. Busy. Little consulting. Talking to folks about their houses. Got one that they want to just move the island 1 foot. Move it over 1 foot so they'll have more room between the other cabinet space and refrigerator. And I don't blame them. You know, when I saw it, I was like, who was thinking when they did this?
Oh,
they weren't thinking.
Yeah. So sometimes stuff looks good on paper. And if you don't really, you know, give it a close look,
well,
not good when you get it in place.
This gal was telling me about it. And, you know, she said, I don't know what you call this. And I said, you call it a one butt kitchen. That's what that's called.
One butter. Yep. You call it a skinny jean kitchen. Get your skinny jeans on. You got the spank sank.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Let's stop this conversation. Anyway, so we got all kinds of stuff to talk about this week. I've been doing this thing 29 years. One year I'm going to get it right. Give us a call this morning. We're at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. That's our number. Time to chat about what's going on home improvement wise. We have our famous dog's breakfast of topics, everything from boring holes in a slab door to fixing pinholes in copper pipe, and how to make sure all of your children are good looking and above average intelligence. No, that's not on our list.
Okay.
That was Garrison Keillor. Remember him? I loved him. All right. But seriously, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about. But it's always most important to talk about what's on your minds. And so that's why we love getting the calls from you, 704-570-1110. Of course, you can always go to AskJohnAndDave.com. There's a button for questions. You can click on that. Or you can simply do questions@AskJohnAndDave.com. And we can get a question from you and answer back to you. Then when you do that, do tell us where you live. We don't need to have your address. But we literally, David, I think the farthest, don't let me tell a fib here. I think the farthest we've ever gotten, we had an email from Australia once. Is that right?
Yes.
Or am I fabricating that? Okay.
No, and I can't even remember what it was about.
We used to get a lot from Salt Lake City and from Washington, the state of Washington. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. But anyway, so tell us where you live. Just sometimes climate can dictate how we would adjust or how we would address some of those challenges.
Well, yeah, and a lot of times people are asking for, leads for contractors or somebody that may do something. We're, Charlotte's starting to get a little bit like Atlanta in the idea that people tend to stay in their zones or their areas. Yeah. Now, there are companies that travel all over the county, don't get me wrong, but some of the some of the smaller guys, I mean, I'll go a little bit further too, but I normally don't. I try to stay in my little corner, and because it's counterproductive. You know,
it's counterproductive and it's expensive.
It is. It's windshield time.
I mean, time and gasoline, right? It's like you're tooling around the countryside. Right. It's pretty obnoxious. I know.
Yeah. They say, and you're at risk. You know, the more you drive, the more you're at risk while you're out there during the day when it's busy. And it's just getting to that point now that we're, you know, I've been to Atlanta, you know, and been driving at all hours of the day and night, and it's never, there's always people on the road. And, you know, it's like that during the day here. So it's busier and busier. It's not like that at night. It still slows down a little bit, but it's crazy.
I marvel at the number of people who are driving on the road looking straight down at their phone. Not even kind of glancing in the peripheral, just straight down looking at their phone. And they're driving in the left lane slower than anybody else.
Well, you know, my theory on this is that's why they've put all these devices on the cars to alert you.
I don't know. I don't know.
Everything's beeping and going. This car we bought, and I was like, I don't want this stuff disconnected. I don't necessarily like it.
I would never do this. I would never do this. But a person might get in front of one of those people just looking down at their phone and gradually slow down and slow down and slow down just to see if you can get them to stop and then pull away. I would never do that. Could be done. All right, we're going to be time for a break. Holy cow, we've blown through that segment. Look, we got a lot of good stuff coming up. It'll be better if you call us at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110 is our number this morning. Again, give us a shout. We'll talk about whatever home improvement questions you have when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
When St. Jude opened in 1962, childhood cancer was considered incurable. Since then, St. Jude has helped push the overall survival rate from 20% to more than 80%. St. Jude won't stop until no child dies from cancer. Join me today in supporting St. Jude by calling 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898 to become a partner in hope. Your gift to St. Jude could last a lifetime.
Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We are at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. David, I have a personal application question to ask you. So I put new carpet in a bedroom, thicker pad, like a 60-ounce carpet or something crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it has sliding, you know, bypass doors with the little guide on the bottom. So when you put the guide on top of the new carpet, the doors are too long.
Right.
So I got to trim the doors, right? Easy to do. It's like, I'm not worried about the rail or anything like that. What I'm trying to figure out is the safest way to reattach the guide to the floor. Because I feel like I have to put a little, you know, X or something in the carpet.
Yeah, you need to put a block underneath it. The same size, usually.
Okay.
Usually like 5/8 plywood or 1/2 inch plywood, whatever you think you need. You know, if you have plastic is good. But anything to shim it up. You know,
okay.
that's solid. And if you another trick. Obviously, you probably already know this, but when it's that small of a, the reason I say plywood because if you use yellow pine or spruce, I'm just going to split.
Yeah, just.
So
yeah.
You, even the plywood, I would drill because it could delaminate it.
Yeah, I'm thinking that I have pieces of vinyl trim and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I
may PVC stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep,
okay. That'll work.
All right. Let's talk to Donald. Good morning, Donald. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you?
Hey. Good morning. How you guys doing? First time here.
Where do?
Sounds like a great opportunity to ask some good questions.
It's a great opportunity to ask some good questions. Go for it.
I just recently moved down here from the Northeast, where I had a house that I worked on a lot, built in 1920s. And down and up there, you know, water pressure was not really an issue. You know, we actually had too much water pressure. I had to put a valve on it in the garage to bring it down. But house I'm looking at here, house I'm in right now, it's got fine water pressure on the first floor. But when you get away, I guess, more from the main, the water pressure kind of decreases in the house. The showers are dribble. The sinks are a dribble. And I was wondering, is there anything I can do about water pressure within the house to regulate it, to, I guess, normalize it? Or is there really nothing you can do?
Well, there's probably... How old's the house?
This is one of the... I mean, I'm not used to these homes down here. They're so new. This is like 2014.
Okay. So probably two things, John, is what I'm thinking. Is it most likely already has a pressure-reducing valve, a PRV, and it's probably near the water cutoff, a lot of times by the water heater if it's got a closet. So that may need to be changed. It could have some debris in it. And, you know, you could start with trying to adjust it, and you could find a video online of how to adjust it. But there is a screen in them. They can get clogged. They can also, the spring can, will rust a lot of times, and they'll break because of the chlorine in the water. So that's the number one. The second thing is, depending on how they plumb the house, which sometimes in the track built homes is not, they run 3/4 for a while, and then they run all 1/2 inch. And so I think that could be part of the problem. So then, John, I think the other thing is aerators, right?
I would check all that stuff out. Donald, where is the home? You don't have to give us an address, but like, what general area is it in?
It's like southeast Matthews.
Okay.
The reason I ask, Donald, is sometimes if there's a lot of construction going on in the area, like new home construction, or you know, somewhere in the lifetime of the home, if supply lines, main supply lines for the municipality are opened up and tapped or whatever, you can get just debris in the line, and then that gets to your house. And if you don't have a whole house filter, it ends up in the aerators and stuff like that. Sometimes we even see it in the cutoff valves. So I don't know what the valves underneath the sink and at the toilet and so in the shower is a different story. It's not going to have a cutoff valve, but sometimes we'll even get a little bit of debris in there, and we'll tell folks to gingerly, you know, with the water running, turn the hot water off and turn it back on, turn the cold water off and turn it back on. And sometimes that'll dislodge some debris that gets it's probably a gate valve. We like a quarter turn valve, but that's another day's conversation. So I think we do have you do all those things. Check the aerators, you know, turn the valves on and off gingerly. For 2014, you shouldn't have a problem with like corrosion and stuff like that. And then if you still have an issue with the amount of water volume, you know, getting out at those remote spots, then I think you got to get a plumber in and take a look at it. Because I know David's right. We call it like a manifold, but there should be like a main line that runs the entire length of the house that needs water supply. And then you take your 1/2 inch, you know, lines off of that so that you don't get a reduction on a reduction. Does that register? Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I was thinking it was I don't like these gate valves. I don't know what's going on in these homes up here, but yeah, that's helpful. Thanks a lot, guys.
Yeah.
Well, here's a little bit of a hint for you. This is just a social, you know, acceptance hint, Donald. Folks in the South, I came from Chicago, so I'm one of those damn Yankees. They don't like it when we tell them we don't understand stuff down here, because they tell us to get back on 77 and go north again. So ask for help. Don't tell them how bad it stuff is down here, because it's really not bad. It's pretty awesome. But it takes a lot of getting used to. It takes some getting in construction stuff. It's way different from a house built in the 20s. And I'm not sure if it's good or bad, but that's just a little social advice from another Yankee.
Fair enough.
He did down. He's like, Donald's like,
I should never called in here.
I haven't called. No,
I appreciate it.
Hey, we're glad, man. We're glad. Welcome.
Yeah, and listen, tap us like on email too, Donald. If you got a lot of stuff going on, you can go to our website, askjohnanddave.com, and there's a little questions button. You can send us a question, send us pictures of stuff if you want, or just go questions@askjohnanddave.com. So you don't have to wait till the Saturday morning to give us a call. You can ping us anytime. But we love it when you call on the air. It's just enjoyable, and we appreciate your questions.
All right. Thanks, Donald.
All right. Okay, Donald's gone. I insulted Donald.
No,
I was just trying to keep him out of trouble, man.
You didn't. He's good.
All right. 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. It's actually what Donald brings up a good thing. It's not that bad an idea to just check the aerators and stuff like that as part of like a routine thing.
Yeah,
because I have a whole.
We do that on our list often. I think too, John. We can't forget we have low flow faucets. So that means a lot. What is it? 1.8 gallons a minute? Is that what they are? Or 0.2? I can't remember.
Might be less than that.
It is
less. Faucet.
Yeah. So if you get a little bit of restriction, a little bit of debris in the aerator, and you're already low flow, it's even lower. So. Even if it's plumbed, even if it's not plumbed the best way, something is certainly something you have to pay attention to.
Yeah, and I think we'll just go ahead and give the lecture again. Donald pointed it out quickly. He said, "I don't like these gate valves," right? And he's right. The ball valve or the quick turn, quarter turn valve is absolutely the best way to go. Don't have to move or buy a new house or change everything out as you do different things, change it. But that's a good point. The one I was worried about is his shower. If it's you can take the head off the shower and check all of that for debris also. But if you got stuff happening now, you got to take the actual
cartridge filler.
Yes. Yeah, take it and check it. And that's a little bit more complicated. It's not hard, but you got to turn the water off to the house and stuff like that. So,
yeah, and then you really need to turn it back on and flush it. So,
right.
But try to determine what type of faucet that you would have your shower valve. If it's, if it's a Moen or a Delta or something that's pretty standard, you should be able to turn the water off, take the shower cartridge out, and then, check it, make sure it looks good. I mean, to me, if you go that far, it's probably worth going ahead and changing it.
I would change the cartridge, yes.
Sure. And don't forget, Delta and Moen, and I'm sure American Standard, almost all of them, Kohler, they have some type of a program where they will replace those cartridges for free, but you have to know which cartridge it is, the model of the actual shower valve. So, try to find that out before you take it apart. And I think if you take pictures, they can they could tell you what they are over online.
It's pretty amazing. I do a lot of it with the multifamily people, and they're quite good at it. The manufacturers are. The other thing, if you can figure out once you determine who the manufacturer is, buy the cartridge removing tool. There's a little device that just makes it easier to get that cartridge out. And then when you put it back in or put a new one back in, a little plumber's grease around the O-rings makes a big difference also.
Big difference. Oh, and one more quick thing. I know we're going to go.
That's all right.
If you find out what those, if you know what your faucets are in your bathrooms and your kitchen, and you know what the model is and all of that, take a Sharpie and write it on the inside of the cabinet on the wall.
Good idea.
And put that in.
Great idea.
Then that way you don't have to keep it in the file cabinet. You won't forget. You'll know where it's at.
All right. On that happy note, we're going to sneak away for a break. Folks, we are at 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110. Give us a call. We'll talk about the home improvement questions that are important to you. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
Hey, and Jimmy, we see Jimmy. Before we do that, let's do our Home Depot product of the week. It's actually a pretty cool product this week. Actually, it's a very simple product this week. I'm going back to old school. David, it's 12-foot wide vinyl flooring, rolled vinyl flooring, old school. And I wanted to bring it up because, A, it's a durable, a visually appealing product. And in certain applications, it's just the right thing to do. And it's inexpensive. Well, relatively, I guess. But you can get versions that are 12 mil wear layer at about a buck a square foot. And so we'll talk about how to install it when we take care of Jimmy. But in a room where you're 12 foot wide and it's least dimension, and you can put a single piece in with no seams, there's some applications where we think it's good. So it's a there's several versions of it. You can get different wear layers and stuff like that. I'm looking at the basic 10 mil wear layer. It's $1 a square foot, and it's got a warranty, and I think it's an option that we've sort of forgotten about with all the row about LVT. And LVT is great, don't get me wrong. But this week, product of the week is residential vinyl sheet flooring, 12 foot wide, cut to length. Check it out at the Home Depot. Let's talk to Jimmy, and then we'll talk about our congressional district activity, because that's coming up this week also. Jimmy, good morning. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, guys?
Good.
We're doing well.
Good. The other guy was talking about shutoff valves, and you were talking about quarter turns. My house has got the old school. You just keep on turning. And I want to know, I replaced one in my kitchen sink. Not a plumber, not a solder. I got copper, and I just put a sharp bite on it.
Yeah.
What do you call it, three-quarter turn, where you just turn it one time and it's off, you know?
Yeah, quarter
turn. Yes.
I want to do all my toilets and everything in the house. How long will that stuff last? Am I shooting myself in the foot? Is it just temporary fix?
No, they're designed to last. I mean, those fittings are actually allowed to go behind the drywall. So they have pretty good confidence that they're going to last.
Yeah.
The biggest problem with the gate valves or the multi-turn valves is that the washer on there deteriorates because of the chlorine in the water. That's the biggest problem.
Yeah.
We kind of joke about them that when you turn them and you put them in, it's like a press. It actually, if there's debris in there, it actually crushes it. It turns it into fines and lets it get trapped in the aerator. But in reality, what you really want is a quarter turn, because in an emergency, to be able to flip that one time and you know that it's going to probably work. The biggest downfall with shark bites or any add-on fitting like that is sometimes you have to grab it with both hands if it's when you first start turn off when they're brand new, because they're stiff. And it'll try to turn, but if there's a supply line hooked to it, it won't turn far, and then it'll turn off. But no, it's no problem. And then I think, John, the biggest problem installing them is depends on if the pipe in the wall has been secured properly, because sometimes they push in back in the wall because they're not restrained. So ideally what you would do is before you cut it off, you would grab the valve and pull it forward as far as you can, and then take a small pair of vice grips, adjust it very gingerly just so that it'll hold. And you snap those against the wall if you have the room. Sometimes they don't leave enough. I like my plumber to leave a couple of inches sticking out so that you at least have one or two opportunities in the future to change those valves out without having to cut the wall open.
And you can do any of a number of things. Like back there, Chris, our son, had to do this in a tight spot, and he just got one of those tiny little C clamps and turned it in to hold it. Anything that's going to kind of hold it out for you. And then the other trick that's really important with those devices is really cleaning up. You got to clean 1 inch from the cut to onto the pipe. Get the little device that you clean, or get some emery cloth, whatever it is. That's, you want that copper shiny again, so you have a nice clean fitting, and that cut needs to be 90 degrees, square, so to speak, right?
Correct.
It's got to be a square cut.
On the edge of it, I sanded where, you know, how it cuts the pipe. It's a little rough, you know, kind of.
Yeah.
Because I've done outdoor spigots, you know, they just, I put them on there, and I actually have my wife underneath the house because the pipe was pushing into the
wall. Yeah.
So she held on to it while I put a sharp bite on my outdoor spigot.
What a man. Did you set her in there? Good for you.
Oh, yeah. I treat her like a man. She does it all.
My brother-in-law says
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, my wife says the princess doesn't go in the crawl space.
Okay, yeah. I hear that. Well, my brother-in-law, he, because I got copper everywhere, he replaced his whole house with the red and blue line PEX.
PEX.
And he'd done it all with sharp bite everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I don't know if that's a good idea. I mean,
well, it's fine. It's just expensive. I mean, you know, PEX fittings are much cheaper than that. And a crimp tool, that's a pretty inexpensive way to replumb a house, and really it's pretty simple to do it.
I know, and it's probably cheaper than to call a plumber to come do it.
Well, you know, of course, but
what do you think?
Technically, you think? You know, so as long as you do it properly.
Last thing, my house, go ahead. Sorry,
it's built in 68, and I went down there. Every pipe is sitting on top of each other, and they're rubbing. And I'm getting springing leaks, so I'm adding these little piece of PEX here and there, and I figure if I had long runs, all these little fittings that I'm adding is more could be, have leaks down the road. Versus
that you have a little restriction, so because the diameter has to be a little bit smaller because you're adding a fitting inside the pipe. So you're reducing, so all those will add up and cause a lower volume. I don't know if you would notice it, but you could slow.
No, I haven't noticed anything, but, you know, I do have a rattling pipe. I cannot find it. I mean, every time the wash machine goes off, I hear it. I think it might be in a wall somewhere.
Yeah, it could be.
In 68, they didn't hang nothing up. Everything's rubbing on each other. And I have a couple of leaks here and there, and I had to go underneath the house, and I sharp bite it. But I'm thinking, man, did I really mess up? Because back in the day, that solder and copper, it lasted forever.
It still will.
Yeah, it will.
But I don't know how to do that. I don't, you know, I'm not a plumber. If I see something, I can kind of pretty much figure it out, but I don't know if it's the right way. And this is the third time calling, and y'all, I mean, helped me out so many times, because I was the person last week about the shower cracking, and you told me pour purple alcohol in the crack and dry it out, and I can't find it. I can't find purple alcohol.
No, not purple.
It's not purple. It's just go to the drugstore and buy rubbing alcohol. It's we gave the chemical name. It's isopropyl, which is just organic chemistry that only six people in the world ever passed, that I know. So it's isopropyl.
Just pouring it down the crack. Do you have to?
You don't pour it in the crack. You want to just rub it through there and make sure that it gets in there. Water and alcohol bond together chemically, and then the alcohol evaporates. So by creating that bond between the water and the alcohol and having it evaporated, it ensures that you're dry.
Right, so you get a good bond with your caulk. And I was the one that said pour it in there, but it's and you may need to. It will, but you put a fan in there, and it'll dry that out.
Yeah.
Faster.
Yeah, I remember you told me that. And the caulk, it was
polyurethane.
I forgot because I'm driving on the road, and I'm like, oh, man, what's her email address? So you know what I did? I actually record you guys one day on my phone because I forget.
No, it's
so
good.
Easily. And,
we had somebody blow steam on the window and write our name down. So, all right, so other questions, Jimmy?
No, that answered my question. So I'm going to go do that this weekend, get that done. I appreciate it, guys. Thank
all
you
right,
so
man.
Much.
Thanks for the call. Have a good one, sir.
Bye.
Bye.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
St. Jude treats children across the country and around the world, regardless of color, creed, or financial capability, because they're committed to love and care for their neighbors. Join me in helping St. Jude give every child with cancer the chance they deserve to survive. Together, we can save more lives. Call now to become a partner in hope. 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898.
When we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And you are on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show at 704-570-1110. Before we roll into this last segment this hour, I want to remind everybody that we'd love for you to join WBT at the WBT North Carolina 8th Congressional District Republican primary debate. That's coming up this coming Wednesday, the 31st. It's at 7 p.m. at Wingate University's Batt Center. It's going to be moderated by our very own Bo and Beth with questions to the candidates coming from the whole WBT team. That's Vince Coakley, Pete Callender, Brett Winterbull, Mark Garrison, Brett Jensen. So good questions, good folks. Many thanks to our venue sponsor, Wingate University. You can listen to all of this right here on WBT. Check it out. All right, we're at 704-570-1110. Lots of great questions, lots of good discussions this morning. We'll talk about what's important to you at 704-570-1110. David, one of the things that was in all these things that I check out because I don't have a life, was just boring a hole in a slab door. Pretty much, folks buy pre-hung doors or buy a door, a slab. Many times it'll already be bored. For an interior, I think it's like a 1 3/8 back set or something traditionally. But if you had a slab door, you got a slab for whatever reason, you had to bore a hole, that's a do-it-yourself project with the right tools, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, it depending on what the door is. I mean, you could buy an inexpensive hole saw if it's just a hollow core or a wood door. But, you know, if it's a metal door, you have to buy a more expensive hole saw. So at that point, you have to start wondering, do you pay the extra money, you know, to have it done, right? At that,
yep.
And order it with it pre-bored. But all in all, if it's just a hollow core door, just an inexpensive hole saw, that's really all you need. And a 2 1/8, and it just fits on your drill, and you find the location. I mean, if you're rehanging a door, I what I've always done, John, is I take the old door off, take all the hardware off, and then I clamp the two doors together.
Clamp
them together, and then I transfer all of the markings. And then you know that you're in good shape, especially if it's working properly. You know, if the door's just damaged or whatever, you could transfer all the markings, and that makes it pretty simple.
Yeah, when I worked for as a carpenter's helper, we used to remodel basements, Charlie was good, but he was cheap, so he would buy just the slab doors, but he had a device. That you clamp to the door, mm-hmm. and it gave you the hole for the different back sets, and then it also gave you the edge bore. So you clamp this device on, and by using the device, you were guaranteed, you know, to put the hole in the right place, and the edge bore would line up perfectly. You can get versions of that now. I think Ryobi makes one. I've seen them out there. That's kind of a nice tool. But to your point, David, by the time you buy the bit and the
jig.
And the jig to line everything up, you've probably paid for the cost of boring it. And I do know that there are some scenarios where you're just buying the door and you need it now, and special ordering it with the bore, and it doesn't give you the time frame. So not hard to do, and certainly worth it. The other thing that, like, I have a closet door in this investment property for a linen closet, and I bought a door and it wasn't bored. That was my error in how I ordered it. So I just put a dummy on a little, like, 1/8 door. I put a dummy knob on it and a big fat magnetic catch on the inside, and that's how I closed the door, and it works fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, it works fine. So anyway, not a bad deal. The I think you said something we should just reiterate. You said when you're boring a door, you know, put the old door on top of the new one and transfer all the markings. The same thing applies if you got to rehang a door with the hinges, right? Because the jam is routed a way, and if you line that up badly, you're going to have an issue, right? So before you trash the old door, set it on top, make your marks, and
combination transfer it over is invaluable for that task.
That's a really good point.
And you could just transfer the marks very easily, and then you only have to do depth, you know, and you can really do that with a hammer and a chisel for the butt marks, where you are cutting out the hinges. That's what that's called. We're not being trying to be funny. You started. So.
But there's again, device that's, if you do this regularly, we had a butt marker, and it was cool because it had really sharp edges like a chisel. You placed it on the door and you banged it with the hammer, and it gave you the markings. And then there, if you flipped it over, there was a really sharp edge, and you just drew it along. So it kind of scored the Luan, and now taking your chisel to it is super easy because the wood is, you're not going to chisel past where you need to, right? You got to have a little bit of a delicate touch, and you know, go all the way around the butt mark to chisel it out if you're not using a router. And the butt marker is, I think they're still available. I haven't looked for one.
Oh, yeah. I still have one in my auxiliary toolbox with all the miscellaneous tools, and it works fine.
Anyway,
it works well. And the other trick that I've used, is if you don't have if you don't have the markers for that stuff, but like when you're setting the strike plates, if you have to enlarge those, I just use a sharp, put a brand new blade in a razor knife.
Yep.
And a lot of times what I'll do is I'll actually screw the strike plate, or I'll screw the latch that goes, the little part that goes in and out on the door that latches the door, and you go ahead and screw that in, and then you go around that with the razor knife, and you just do it multiple times. Then when you chisel to the proper depth. You keep checking it, make sure it's flush, and when it's finally flush, you're good. You just clean the wood out and put your screws back in. But you have to be, you can't be in a hurry, and you need a sharp blade. Because, you know, a dull blade will cut you faster than a sharp one.
So. Fact.
Yep, you don't have to push so hard. Right.
Then I think we had we're running right up against time, but I'm going to go ahead with it. So while we're on this topic, just lining up, you put in a new door, and you got to get the strike plate on the jam in the right place. Lipstick. You could probably do a lot of different things, but lipstick actually works best if you put lipstick on the
spring ribbon latch,
right? Thank you. And then just close the door. It'll leave a lipstick mark. That's hard to say, on the jam where your hole needs to be. And now, to your point, you put the strike plate up there, mark it off, and chisel away.
That's right. And if you're out of lipstick, just take your pencil and go over it a whole bunch of times, and it'll leave a little lead mark too. So.
Yeah. All right. There we go.
I don't usually have lead lipstick in my truck.
I always carry it. I carry lipstick and foundation because when I sweat, everything gets messed up, and I got to look good on the job site. So, all right. We got to take a break on that sick little note. 704-570-1110 is the number. Give us a call. We'll talk about shades of lipstick and foundation colors not when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Don't go away.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show, brought to you in part by DryPro.
The Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Answering your home improvement questions every Saturday on WPT. Presented by Charlotte Comfort Systems Heating and Air Conditioning and Acosta Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. On News Talk 1110 and 99.3 WPT.
Welcome back, everybody. It's hour number two of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we are taking your calls. Good calls this morning so far. 704-570-1110. 704-570-1110 is the number. Let's talk about what's important to you.
Free home improvement advice.
Free home improvement advice.
Free.
Free. No charge. Nada. All right, David. There's mold under the caulk in the bathtub. I try to clean it up, but it's obviously underneath the caulk. What do I do? Jimmy kind of touched on that a couple weeks ago, and then we reiterated it this morning. What's the deal? How do you get that out of there?
You got to cut the caulk out. Remove.
Cut the caulk.
Remove it. Dig it out. Clean it out. Clean it up and re-caulk. Just real quick, I'll just go through the steps that I use and have been pretty successful for a lot of years. Basically, you remove it. I use a couple of different tools. If you can find a razor blade holder, not a utility knife, but the one that holds it flat from scraping paint off of the windows. Used to be I would use a pair of vice grips, John, a small pair of vice grips.
And grab that blade,
and it works really well. But that's to get the excess caulk off of the sides. Be careful with if it's a fiberglass tub or even porcelain, you can scratch it. So take your time, keep it flat, but get all the caulk that you can get out of there. Then I like to clean it. I think maybe one of the best things is Concrobium to spray back in there, because if there's any mold or mildew back in that joint, it'll clean it out. Now you can clean it and disinfect it with bleach, peroxide, anything like that. But before it's all said and done, you have to dry it out. So the best thing is what I found, and it takes a little bit more time, but is a fan. And put a fan in there. You dry it out. You can put alcohol in there, but I'm not sure if you used Concrobium, John, that it wouldn't deplete that.
It would probably draw it back up. You're right.
Exactly. So I think if you use Concrobium and sprayed that back in there as a mold control, you would probably want to put a fan in there and dry it out. Anyway, once it's dry and you're pretty sure that it's dry, you can caulk it. There's many caulks you can use out there. The latex caulks are probably a little easier to work with. And you can buy the stuff that expands and contracts with the wall. I know, John, years ago you talked about filling up the tub, right?
Yeah, I think filling up the tub, or even if you're doing a shower base, putting like a 5-gallon bucket of water in there. The idea is just to put weight into the tub, so when there's a little bit of spring in the floor joist, typically naturally, it pushes it down, which simulates you stepping into the shower.
In my skinny days.
Yeah. It's like if you fill the tub up, it accommodates you now. But what it does is it pushes the tub all the way down, put your bead of caulk in, and then when you release the pressure, it compresses the caulk bead. The seal remains intact versus stepping in and then stretching the caulk bead and running the risk of breaking the bond between the two surfaces and having the same problem all over again.
Right. So it's a great tip, although I have to have 6 buckets of water now. But
get a plump pet and put them in there.
But you can use tape. So if you have if it's a fiberglass, if it's a solid surface walls, if it's tile, you could put put some tape on the wall and put some tape on the tub side or on the shower bottom and put it all the way around. And then once you've tooled your caulk, you can let it set for just a few minutes, and then you can gently pull the blue tape off, and it will leave you a perfect line.
If you want to pull the tape before it sets.
Yeah, you don't want to let it set because you'll hate us. Then you'll be calling us saying, hey, how do you get blue tape that's embedded in dried caulk off? And it's not.
You spray paint your walls blue. Take that blue tape to the Home Depot. They'll match the color in the paint department for you.
Take that back.
Yes. Somebody will take that soundbite. All right, good stuff. Not bad I like the idea of the latex caulk. It's easier to work with. The best product, really, though, is the polyurethane products because they.
It is. It's just you have to tell. We have to warn you that it tells you that those are usually for exterior use. So that's where you got to make sure that it's for because it has a little bit of odor.
It does. It stinks.
It does. Turn the exhaust fan on and let it run.
Yeah. It'll.
We have to have a little paint thinner for cleanup and some rags when you use silicone or when you're using the polyurethane. So anything with a solvent base, you're going to need the proper solvent to clean it up. So read the label before you buy it and get yourself a good caulk gun. Don't buy a cheap caulk gun, but they do make most caulks come in a tube that are for bathrooms and kitchens that are designed for that. So you don't even have to have a caulk tube. You can just use the squeeze tube. And it works. It works well. You might need two of them, but it just depends on how big the gaps are.
There you go.
And remember,
all right.
One more thing that we
go ahead.
We need to say this, and it's really caulking in the shower if it's used on a daily basis is really it's almost an annual chore if you want to know the truth because it's hard to keep them. It's hard to keep it from getting mold behind it. Because it opens up a little bit and water gets in there. It's constantly wet. It's damp. But if it's not every year, it's every couple of years. So don't be surprised if someone tells you that. And, you know, guess what? If you start doing it every year, you get really good at it. So
there you go. Actually, I wanted to go down a whole caulk rabbit hole. But we'll save that for another day because the same is true of exterior caulking applications and stuff. Also, you got to pay attention to them. All right. Speaking of paying attention, I should pay attention to the clock. We're going to take a little break here. We'll be back to answer your questions at the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
When St. Jude opened in 1962, childhood cancer was considered incurable. Since then, St. Jude has helped push the overall survival rate from 20% to more than 80%. St. Jude won't stop until no child dies from cancer. Join me today in supporting St. Jude by calling 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898 to become a partner in hope. Your gift to St. Jude could last a lifetime.
Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
We'll take your calls this morning. We're at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We're talking about, we call this our dog's breakfast menu of all kinds of different things. We've talked about mold under the caulk, re-caulk in the tub. Let's stay in the bathroom for one second. This was a question on cultured marble. I gathered it was cultured marble because it was, you know, one-piece vanity top. And the sheen is gone, so it's rough, and then it stains. If it is cultured marble, it's the gel coat that has failed, probably because somebody used an abrasive cleaner on it, mm-hmm. or maybe just over a period of time. But there's really no way to restore that, is there? You gotta kind of bite the bullet and replace the top.
Right. Correct. Well, the integral sink, you know, remember the Beyond Paint. Wasn't
yes.
That
yes.
We had them.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I think that will stick to the top, but I don't think it would last in the sink because it's integral. So you would have to stop there, and if the sink is wore out too, then of course
then you're going to look like yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So change it out. You know, it's time to change the countertop out, give it a new look in there, and that's really about all you can do. They make gel gloss, which kind of restores to a point. Mm-hmm. It's the cleaner. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like a wax for it. And you could even use a car wax in there on it, but it won't last long.
No. The way to think about automotive wax would be new top is in there. You've gone back with a cultured marble top. Then the gel gloss or like a turtle wax or something like that would be a good solution, right? Just to protect it.
Yeah, and I think I think U.S. Marble, aren't they still? Isn't that who
yeah
you guys,
down
Home Depot
yeah,
buys from?
Used to be. I haven't looked at all that stuff in so long, but I think so.
I think locally it's Tar Heel.
Colonial? Tar Heel? Colonial?
Colonial's out of business.
Okay.
Tar Heel Marble, I think, was out in Midland. So
okay.
So there is, if they're still out there, they had built a pretty nice showroom some years ago, but I haven't been out there in a long time, so don't know.
All right. So not bad. I mean, there's other options for cultured. For vanity tops, cultured marble is great, durable. It's durable and relatively inexpensive. But I don't know if you're going to replace it. Maybe investigate a couple of other options. Like even an undermount sink, that's going to be more expensive, but something to think about if you're really kind of sprucing up the bathroom.
Yeah, they're still out there. In Midland, you can look them up. Tar Heel Marble. So if you're looking for that, and they have, it's not the basic colors anymore either, John. So
no, yeah,
they had started that years ago. I went out to that showroom and talked to them, and they can do a lot of different colors and make it look pretty cool. A lot of stuff that looks like granite, and it's just at a different price point. That's all. So if you you can order. They'll measure what they want, but they sell the panels for your shower walls. I'm sure they still sell tubs. I would think that they still sell them, but lots of opportunity in that material if you like it. And it has about a 20-year, probably about a 20-year yeah. lifespan. So.
Yeah. And I do like the wall panels. I just think they're an easy solution for certain nice. Applications.
It's just heavy. Yeah. It's harder to work with than like an acrylic or whatever, but it's more substantial. It's 3/8 of an inch
sure.
thick. So, and you just cut it with a carbide blade. So it's not, you don't have to have fancy tools.
All right. We're still in the bathroom. I have a question about a bidet toilet seat. I think Toto is probably the most common manufacturer. So a toilet seat adaption that is a bidet. What think you?
We have one. I love it. It's
okay.
It's great.
So then the tricky part is getting power next to the toilet, right?
Yes.
Because don't you have to plug it in?
We do. I actually ran hot water to the toilets besides. So we have two valves. And I put outlets beside the toilets. So that you have that opportunity. So yeah, it's a little tougher. You have more obstacles in the walls in a bathroom than most walls. So an outlet is a little trickier to run, but it can be done. So you can add an outlet. We don't suggest we don't prescribe to using an extension cord.
But
hey, I see it all the time. So
oh my gosh, no.
So it's not it's dangerous to have a cord with water and all of that in there. But people do it. But it's a great thing. And of course, you don't have to have it'll work just off of water pressure. So you don't have to have. They have bidet toilet seats that don't. That they don't have the heated water or the heated seat feature, so you don't need electricity. So it's just
yeah.
just the water temperature that's coming out. So it's a little bit, probably a little bit more surprising in the winter
than it is yeah.
the summer. So, and then of course, depending on, I'm not even going there.
let's keep it. All right. So my recommendation would be heat it up. So a friend of mine visiting, was explaining how he purchased this Toto bidet toilet seat, and it was a remarkable thing in his opinion. And then of course Barb heard that, and she's like, "Well," I'm like, "Whatever,
right?
Whatever, I can put that in."
Yes,
I do have to drop an outlet down the wall cavity. Pray that there's no blocking,
or that you don't hit
okay.
the pipe when you cut in the wall.
Ooh, yeah. All right, so that's cool. I mean,
a lot of countries, that's what they use. That's a standard. That's a standard when they put the bathroom in. So, you know, it's nice. It's just, you know, it's not necessarily that much of a high end luxury anymore. It's nice. Like I said, a lot of countries, it's just a necessity. That's
it is. It's what they do. It's pretty popular in Europe. I will tell you, I had a friend in college who went to Europe, did not know what a bidet was. And so he put ice in there and kept his champagne cool. This is a true story. Whatever. All right, let's get off of that topic. 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Let's talk about what's on your home improvement mind. David, how do you deal with rusted toilet bolts? You want to change the toilet out and the Johnny bolts are rusted.
Well, in the old days, I would, use a hacksaw with a handle on it, and you would have to, underneath the seat is where you would have to cut. You could get them loose a little bit enough to be able to get a hot hacksaw blade underneath there. You know, now most of them are plastic, so you don't have that problem.
But okay. Clarification. The actual toilet bolts to the floor flange.
Oh. So if they're rusted, I still would cut them.
Get a flex tool though. If you had it, it'd be a little easier now, wouldn't it?
Well, yeah, multi-tool is the key to everything in life now. it's my favorite tool. I take it with me on vacation. You never know.
It's like, all right.
Here, honey, put these blades in your bag. Don't lose that wrench because now I have a toolless one, so I don't even need the Allen wrench anymore to change the blade. That's great.
That's true. And good luck with TSA security.
Yes.
Honey, you carry it.
Here, hold this for me.
Don't accept strange objects from your husband. 704-570-1110. I want to talk about, we got time. So outside your outside gutters, eaves trough, depending on where in North Carolina you're from, there's a low spot. So you got a spot that's holding water, which is only going to get worse if it holds water because the weight's going to exacerbate the issue. Mm-hmm. How do you fix that?
Well, you start over again. I mean, you have to realign the gutters. There is no easy way. Chances are it was probably installed that way. So they take them loose, and really what you have to do is you need to move the brackets over a little bit because you don't want to go back in the same holes. And then you have to come back and you have to fill the holes because they've either put nails or screws through the back of the gutter, and you're going to want to fill those holes, fill those back up so water doesn't run and get trapped between the back of the gutter and your fascia board.
Okay. All right. So what about the brackets to use?
The new brackets, the ones that have the screw up that build into them are awesome. They're
pretty
the best
slick
ones. And put them closer than you think if you're doing it yourself. We have big gutters. We have a lot of brackets in there. So we don't have to worry about them sagging. It does really well. It's a little harder to clean them, but it's okay.
All right, let's do this. We've got Rodney wants to talk about the bidet thing, but we're going to have to we have a hard stop coming up. Rodney, don't go away. We can help you with the question that you have, and we want to make sure that we do it. So if you don't mind, hang tight. We're going to go off to a break here real quick. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We'll take your call at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. We'll take your call, and we'll chat about what important home improvement topic you have when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. Welcome back. This is the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
And we're taking your calls at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. Let's do a couple quick things here. Number one, our Home Depot product of the week this week. I'm going old school and going with a Traffic Master. The color I'm looking at is white oak, but Traffic Master residential vinyl sheet flooring. Remember, it's the old 12-foot stuff that we used to buy off the roll and put in, and everybody kind of jumped away from it with LVT, because LVT is an awesome product, super easy to install. But there's a time and a place, in my opinion, for the old 12-foot sheet vinyl. And David, when we're done here, I said last time we would talk about it, and then we just took a bunch of calls and stayed busy, and that's great. But it's, in certain applications, super easy to install for a do-it-yourselfer, and we'll talk about that. There's some prep on the surface and things like that, but it is a good-looking, durable, inexpensive solution where you want to put some vinyl in place. And it's the one I'm looking at. It has a 12 mil wear layer, or I'm sorry, a 10 mil wear layer, and it's exactly $1 a square foot. So if you buy, it's cheap. It's inexpensive to install, and not so hard to do. So that's it. That's our Home Depot product of the week: Traffic Master sheet vinyl, 12 foot wide, cut to length. Also, while we're doing this, I want to remind everybody that this week we have. We want you to join the WBT North Carolina 8th Congressional District Republican primary debate. It's this Wednesday, the 31st, at 7 p.m. It's at Wingate University's Batt Center. It'll be moderated by Bo and Beth, our own talent. And the questions will come from, the questions for the candidates are going to come from the whole WBT team. So it's Vince Coakley, Pete Callender, Brett Winterble, Mark Garrison, Brett Jensen. So all the minds will be contributing to the questions. So join us. It's and we want to make sure that we acknowledge great thanks to the venue sponsor, Wingate University, for making all this possible. But you can listen right here on WBT this Wednesday, 7 p.m. Check it out. Don't miss it. All right, David, let's just talk 1 second about, we talked about the product of the week being a 12-foot, you know, roll flooring. There's so many reasons to use LVT. It's a great product. I love it. I'm actually in the middle of a project right now doing that, a simple little square room. But let's just say you had a small, I don't know whether it was like a laundry room or a storage room, someplace you wanted to finish the floor, but you wanted to do it inexpensively. Cutting and putting sheet vinyl in is not like this rocket science difficult scenario. I recall, in fact, you used to be able to buy just plain like inexpensive craft paper or paper to build a pattern or a template just by taping pieces of paper together following the, you know, all the different walls, right?
Right.
And then folding it up, taking it out to the garage or driveway or wherever, preferably a clean surface, and laying your vinyl out and then putting the your pattern on top of it and cutting it out. And you could take your newly cut piece and just drop it into place. Even if there was like little bumps and indentions in the wall and stuff like that, you could accommodate that with your pattern. I've done it multiple times, kitchens and so on. I thought it was where you don't have to do seaming. So if your room is 12 foot wide or less, you don't have to do a seam. I thought it was a not difficult thing. What about underlayment, though?
Well, and that therein lies the deal. So if you're going over a smooth, if the floor is totally smooth, then you could put another piece of vinyl over it. But if it's embossed, or you have cracks or whatever, they have to be either filled. Or if you have an embossed piece of vinyl versus taking it up, most of the time they'll come back and put an underlayment over top of that, which is, it's 5/32nds, right at a quarter of an inch. It used to be relatively inexpensive, but it was mm-hmm. you know, $9-$10 a sheet. Then you could cover a floor pretty quick, usually a bathroom or whatever, with just two or three sheets. But now you're looking at $27 a sheet. So, and it's an extra step, and you need to fasten it down. It needs to have a lot of staples or fasteners on the edges. Sometimes we would even put a little glue on the seams under the seams of the plywood, because that's where mm-hmm. it could come apart. So that kind of changes the dynamic just a little bit. But if you need a one piece floor and that's what you're looking for, then that's the best way to do it. No cracks, perfect. No joints, but
so yeah, it's I don't know, and you got to buy the version that I think everything out there now, I shouldn't say that, you got to be careful, because it used to be you glued that stuff down, but as they increase the, you know, the pad beneath it and the thickness of the actual product, it was a floating system, right? Literally, right. You just put it into the room and then you put your you know, quarter round or base shoe back down, and on you go. You were not gluing the product to the floor as the as some of the earlier vinyl or linoleum products would require.
And then they had edge glue where they just would do like a 4 or 6 inch place around it. Now, a lot of those I saw shrunk over time, and then they would pull out from underneath the shoe mold. So you would you could see the edge, and that's not very attractive. So, but it was only was only the edge glue floors that were doing that. And I really think it was because people were using flooring that was not edge glue; it was regular flooring, and they were just passing it off as edge glue. Yeah. So I really think that was the problem, but I could be wrong.
All right. So anyway, that's a couple of things that I think. Just some things to think about. What, so while we're on the flooring conversation, so we talked about the 12 inch or the 12 foot wide, you know, roll vinyl. If you've got a, I don't know, a storage room or, a shop could, you might want to think a little differently about, what kind of flooring are you putting there? And I know we're right up against the break, so maybe we'll think about that and come back after the break. But just some good options of how what you put on the floor. You want to make it look a little better, look a little bit nicer, and not necessarily spend a ton of money. Anyway, we'll talk about that and any questions that you have if you call us at 704-570-1110, 704-570-1110. And maybe we can talk also about dropping the outlet because our caller couldn't wait through the last break. So we'll talk about that too when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Did you know St. Jude has one of the largest pediatric sickle cell programs in the country? St. Jude freely shares the discoveries they make, and every child saved at St. Jude means doctors and scientists worldwide can use this knowledge to save thousands more children everywhere. Join me today in helping to fight sickle cell disease by becoming a partner in hope. Call now 1-800-411-9898. That's 1-800-411-9898.
Welcome back. It's the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. I'm John Gordon.
I'm Dave Doval.
704-570-1110. 704-570-1110 gets you into the lightning round of the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. We're talking about two things before we slipped off to our break. Let's go first back to, I can't remember if it was Rodney or Philip, who the caller was. Couldn't wait through the break. Rodney had a question about putting an outlet in place for the bidet that we were talking about. Couple ways to do that, right? So let's just say you either have a crawl space or an attic where you've got power and you can bore up or down. I'm thinking that's probably the most common scenario and the easiest scenarios. So you would find, well, first off, I think we have to qualify this. Probably supposed to be done by an electrician, right?
Correct.
Leave it at that.
It has to be protected.
Right.
GFI.
GFI protected. So if you bring an outlet down and it's not coming off a GFI circuit, you need to have a GFI outlet there, not a problem. But you're really just locating the wall that the toilet is on, right? And if you're coming from the attic, you're drilling a hole in the top plates if it's a load-bearing wall, and then bringing a fish tape down and cutting the hole in the
in the
wall where you want the outlet to be, and you're just bringing your fish tape to it and then pulling the wire back through, correct?
Right. But you know, I mean, and that's simplified because the hardest
Simplified.
Yeah, the hardest part is finding you have to look in the attic first and decide where you're going to come down that wall. You have to take some kind of a measurement so you know where you're coming, because if you cut the hole for a cut-in box, which is a thing that you would use, but that's the hole that you're going to use to bring your wire down that wall. And most of the time you're talking about an interior wall, so there's no insulation Which makes it a little bit simpler for sure.
Could have a fire block, though, depending on...
It could be a fire block, but you don't have a lot of that nowadays. So 9-foot ceilings, there's possibility there's an extra blocking in there. But, yeah, so, you know, it's probably better left to the professional. You can do it yourself, but you're supposed to have an electrician. You should at least know one and make sure you're making the connections right and doing all those things right. But but it can be done.
Can be. Then the other option is just a big fat mess, but if you have an outlet or, yeah, I guess it would be an outlet on a wall, you can literally cut a line of drywall out, bore through each of the studs, and run your power over and then repair the drywall, which is like, let's just have a root canal. But could be done. Right. So so lots of different options. I would suggest when you get to that point, you really want to have a professional do it because you're going to need to be using a right angle drill to bore through the studs. And then you really need to put a plate on the stud because you got wire running through it now. So there's just a lot of things that a professional would think to do and know to do that we might mess up as do-it-yourselfers. So not the end of the world. Rodney, if you were still listening, I hope. It was Rodney, right?
Yeah, and I'm not sure if he was calling to tell us exactly what we were just talking about, that it can be done, or if he was asking to put it in. So,
yeah.
Anyway, we appreciate it. Either way, we appreciate the call.
The call. All right, so then we'll go back to flooring for a second, David. So you've got like a, I don't know, I don't want to say a laundry room, because if it was a laundry room, I would say put LVT in there, or ceramic if you want, but... But you got a shop or a storage area, and you just want to spruce up the floor so it looks a little bit nicer than concrete. What are some of the products you would consider for that?
Well, I mean, I think the standard, you said it, LVT is nice. But, you know, if you don't want to put anything, you can actually you can use a polyurethane in there on that floor. You could stain it. You could paint it and put polyurethane over it. You could do a urethane. I'm seeing that more and more on slabs. People are repairing them, so they go in and fix the chips and dents and the expansion joints, and they're coating the floors. And they're easy to take care of. You don't have to worry about, you know, if it floods or anything. You just go near the shop vac and vacuum it up, right? So
yeah.
So there's some advantages. It's probably a little cold on the feet. And I'm sure people warm up the room with area rugs and runners in the hallways, but it doesn't, you know, that's a fairly bulletproof type of flooring. You know, it comes with cost. You know, if concrete, if you want it to stay down, you want any type of epoxy, you really have to grind it. I know you did that in your garage, John, right?
Yeah, yes, I did. It was really, it's awesome.
That's a nice floor that's pretty permanent, you know. And if you put that in your house, it's almost indestructible on the inside. I mean, now obviously, if you drag a piece of furniture with a nail hanging out of it, it'll probably scratch it. But
yeah.
So there's ways to do it. I see people. I've seen these, and you probably have seen it. I know your family does a lot of Pinterest stuff, and sees a lot of pictures. So. What do they call it? Collages, and they put it and they glue it to the floor, and then they polyurethane.
Craft paper, yeah.
And they polyurethane.
I've seen craft paper done it, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. The different things that they do. So it's pretty wide open. You don't have to do just the standard stuff that you can buy at the store, but it still comes with a price tag.
Got it. All right, let's talk to Richard. Good morning, Richard. You're on the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave. How are you this morning?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Doing well.
I've got a question about a concrete slab in a garage. Let's say it's old, it's 50 years old, there's a couple cracks in it, and when you get heavy rains around the house, you start to get some damp patches throughout that floor.
Sure.
What's the best way to seal that without completely taking the pad out and putting a new one in?
There's some products that you can buy that you roll and brush down before you put flooring over top, and those are available, and that's a little bit cheaper and a little less work. But there's a product out there called SaniTread that we've talked about multiple times on the show that will stop the
hydrostatic pressure.
Thank you. It'll stop the water from pushing through the slab. And it was designed for basements. It's in, they're based in Wapakoneta, Ohio now. But they were originated out of Indiana, and I'm not sure if they were the original manufacturers of this product or if they're buying it from someone else and relabeling it, but they stand out, and they're the predominant, one of the predominant, companies with this type of waterproofing. But there's some prep work on the floor. So you would just have to do the math to see if it was cheaper to break the slab up or to put this down. It's the prep work, 'cause you really need to grind the floor. It's just
can you etch it? Can you etch it chemically still?
You can, but you and I both know that's pretty hard to etch it and get a really good bond and feel good about it when you're done.
Right.
So if you grind it, if you have it ground with a diamond, and it's not that expensive to have it done, believe it or not, but it does have a cost to it. And then you put the sandy tread down, that will stop the water from pushing through, and you have a nice looking floor to boot. Basic colors are available, and it's like two. It was a couple $100 per gallon. No, that's not right. It was like $125 a gallon. I think it covers 200 square feet, something like that.
Okay.
But it's sanitred.com, SANITRED.com. I've used it multiple times for different applications. It's a pretty good product. It's a little hard to work with, but it's not terrible.
David, could some of the Schluter products work in that application that, you know, would you put down for waterproofing in a shower?
Probably if it's a garage and you're driving on it, you know, probably not.
No, it's going to wear up. It's going to tear up. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to have great success, and you're going to spend that money. So,
yeah,
like I said, I would compare the slab, having it removed and re-poured, and then putting a coating like the Sandy Tread. And there's other coatings out there. They're just not coming to mind.
All right.
All right. No easy way, though. Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay.
All right, man.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks, Richard. Appreciate your call.
All right.
Bye. All right. That's the home improvement project that has a price tag on it, either in time and money or a lot of money.
And you can rent that equipment as well, but there's a learning curve. You got to know how to, it's like a floor sander. You could end up down in the gravel. Pretty quick, literally. So you want to do that, and it could be dusty, so you need to have a vacuum system. But you can polish the floor up, or you can grind it and get it, open it up, and open up all the pores so that your product sticks. And that's the idea, is that you create all these peaks and valleys. And what you're doing is you're creating you can't see it with the naked eye, but that's what you're essentially doing, and what it does is it creates more area for the mechanical bond.
Right.
There you go. Right. That's exactly what it is.
All right. That's cool. Yeah. People ask in Home Depot stores, right? It's concrete, and it's pretty shiny, and it stays that way depending on the age of the store. And stores more recently built, there's nothing on that. People say, "What'd you put on there?" We didn't. We just ground it down and polished it until you were fundamentally impervious. So it's a pretty good solution.
Yep.
All right. That brings us to the wrap on another week. Appreciate all the great calls, folks. And we hope that it was as informative for you as it was enjoyable for David and me. And we like to remind you at the end of each show that we think that the most important kind of home improvement that you can make is the one that makes your home a happier place to live in. As you work on everything else this week, don't forget to work on that project. And we'll see you next week when we return to the Home Depot Home Improvement Show with John and Dave.